As you recall, at the beginning of chapter 10, he'd called his 12 disciples, his 12 apostles, sent them out in pairs, and they're going to go out and they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. They're going to tell everybody the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we talked a little bit about that. Now we're going to continue on in verse 16. And remember, many of these principles affect you right now, right here today. He says this, you're going to go out there and there's going to be problems. So he said, verse 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, in the false teachers, he calls them ravenous wolves. I am sending you into danger on purpose. I know what it's like out there, and I'm sending you out there anyway. It's going to be dangerous out there. It's not going to be all roses and rainbows on sunshine. There might be ice at times. It's dangerous. And I'm sending you out as sheep. What defense do sheep have? Nothing. They can't even run fast in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless or innocent as doves. Be wise and be harmless. Be wise as serpents. John Corson talks about reading an article in the paper about a 25-foot boa constrictor. That's a large snake. Who got into this young family's basement. 25 foot. Now that's long. And they never saw it. The only reason they knew it was there, because of the skin, it kept shedding every once in a great while. How can you possibly not find a 25 foot snake? It just sneaks in the little cracks and crevices. That's what you need to do. Well, metaphorically speaking, of course. You need to be wise. You need to get out there and keep your eyes open. Go where you're watching. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Listen. Be wise, because I'm sending you into danger. Yeah, you don't think that way. I know you don't. Many times you think, oh, I'm working for Jesus. Oh, the world knows me a living. And there you go. You're off. No, no, no. It is dangerous out there. It is not set up in your favor. So you need to be wise as serpents and innocent or harmless as doves. Because it's dangerous. Now, beware of men. And that's what women say all the time, isn't it? It's not just men. Mankind. So beware of women too. Beware of people, is what the Bible is saying here. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will beat you in their synagogues. You'll be whipped. So I'm sending you out there into that. Would a loving God who created you, gave His Son to die for you in your place, would He send you into trouble? Absolutely right away. Yes. And it's a privilege. And it's a thrill. But you've been warned, so you keep your eyes open. I'm going to deliver you. They will deliver you, men and women, people, to the councils. See, Jesus coming into the world is going to divide people up. It didn't bring unity when Jesus came. We all keep talking about how we're going to hold hands by the world of Coke, everybody kiss a white kitten, and we're going to be one big global family. Not on your life. It's not going to happen, not to true believers. When Jesus came, it didn't bring us all together in unity. It divided big time. And he says this, not only will you be delivered to the councils and they will beat you in their synagogues, but you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Notice, opposition brings you opportunity. You're going to be opposed. You're going to get out there. It's going to be dangerous. They're going to drag you in. You'll even stand before kings and before governors. You would not normally have stood before them. But the opposition that will come against you will give you an opportunity. When trouble comes, it is an opportunity to witness to the glory of God. Has anybody ever been called on the carpet for their faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever? I don't think this says be stupid, be an idiot. It says be wise, on the other hand. Now, if you're casting your pearls before swine, if you're looking to get yourself in trouble, I don't think that's wise. But there are times when you're going to stand up for Jesus Christ. You're going to stand up for what's the truth. Has it ever happened to you yet that your boss says, I need to talk, you get in here? As a young man, I was working for the United States government. I'm told there still is one. We'll see. But as I was working for the government, I would tell people in the position that they gave me, and they gave me a position to where I saw everyone in the entire unit, so at least 700 or 800 people per day. See, God does that. He put me in a position to where they put me in a job that I would handle mail and I would handle classified information. And so the administrative documents and things, I would deal with all the people coming in. And with the mail, I would deal with all the military guys and girls. And with the classified documents, I'd deal with all the important people. And so each day they would come and get whatever they had coming, and I would tell them they need to be born again. Here's your classified document. You're going to hell. God bless you. I didn't say it exactly that way. The tact was just amazing. I wish you'd have been there. So my boss called me in. It happened. He called me in and he said, you will not speak about that anymore. I said, of course I will. Are you crazy? Yes, I will speak about it. This is a government office. This is a government workplace. Oxymoron. Government workplace. You can't do that here. I said, of course I can. If there's any place that needs Jesus, it's this place. I know. I talk to these people. You should hear the things they tell me. So-and-so's wife's divorcing him. This guy is 16 years old. He's working a summer job. He's going to run away from his home because he hates that they're... You should hear the things I hear. Yes, they need Jesus. You get opportunities to tell people about Jesus. But many times you're called in for it. Don't be foolish. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Be careful what you say and how you say it. But things need to be said. And of course, he said to me, he says, I'm getting tired of hearing all this gloom and doom. I said, it's only gloom and doom to those going to hell. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? There I can't witness to one of the head boys of the United States Army Electronic Proving Grounds, one of the head guys. I got to ask him, do you know Jesus? And would you like to? He said, no. Okay, well, I got an opportunity. Now, I wouldn't have normally gotten to sit with him and discuss Jesus and the gospel. But the opposition brought an opportunity. Same thing happens to you. Don't be foolish. Don't cast these things before dogs, that which is holy, or pearls before swine. But you have opportunities. And Jesus said, be wise out there. It's dangerous. But I'm sending you out there anyway. And he says, now when they deliver you up, excuse me, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. Don't worry about what you should say or how you should say it. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. The Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. Now, pastors and Bible teachers of all sorts, men and women alike, listen closely. This is not your scripture freeing you up from studying and preparing your Bible study and preparing your lessons for Sunday school and preparing to possibly witness to someone. This is not an excuse, but this is what men and women use to show, I don't need to study. I'll just preach and it'll come out. God will give me the words. No, you see, you need to give yourself to the Word of God. You do need to study. If you have someone who has questions, you need to look and find and see if God will show you answers to those questions. It was H.A. Ironside, he and a friend of his in college, when they were studying, another friend of theirs was speaking in the church. So Mr. Ironside and his friend took a ride over. to go listen to him. And they sat there listening, and they said, you could tell he hadn't prepared anything. He was making this up as he goes along. And it was terrible. So afterwards, they said, come on, we're going back to school, we'll give you a ride. So on the way home, they began to discuss with him. And Mr. Ironside said, my friend had more nerve than me, so my friend asked our other friend, did you prepare that message? And the man answered, no, I didn't prepare that. The Lord gave it to me. And the other man answered back and said, don't blame that one on the Lord. Don't even... No, you prepare. But you see, there are times when you didn't know it. Maybe you were doing something, you were standing up for something you believe in, and someone comes along and says, we're going to have to do this to you, or we're going to have to do that. Don't worry. Oh, I'm not prepared. I haven't prepared a sermon. Oh, what do I do? The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. I'd like to see Christians stand up. I'd like to see Christians stand up in Christian organizations, wouldn't you? Because a lot of times Christian organizations really take it to the limit when it comes to getting away with murder, metaphorically speaking. I'd like to see Christians stand up there. But everywhere, standing up for what is right, standing up for what is real, instead of going with the status quo. But it is dangerous. They will deliver you up. When they do, take no thought. And verse 21 says, the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. And the father, the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. 10 severe waves of persecution. Up through the time, really, of until Constantine. You see, severe waves of persecution. Children turning in their parents. Brothers turning against brother. Mother against daughter. Husband against wife. Wives turning them in to be beaten, imprisoned, put to death. Even today, still. And he says, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, the world hates Jesus. I do admit to you that his picture does pop up every once in a while on Newsweek or Time, or, and that's not his picture, but I mean, they'll put a picture of a guy with long hair and a beard, and that's supposed to be Jesus. Well, who was he? You know, the question isn't who was he? The question is, who is he? He is. He was. And he is. And he is to come. And they always seem to answer by simply saying, a great man. And they always compare him to some of the great men and women throughout history. He is God, the Son. He is fully God, fully man. He compares to none of us. He is so almighty, so high. You can't compare him to anything down here. And they hate Jesus, the world does. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And of course, we're told, he that has the Holy Spirit will carry you through. Now, when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For truly I say to you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And he's telling them simply, if you're persecuted and you're driven out, go to the next. I remember the Apostle Paul. This is for these apostles here. But the Apostle Paul, I remember him being kicked out of cities, being driven out of cities, being let down out of a basket and having to clear out of town quickly, being dragged out of a city and left for dead. His ministry continued on. You'd have thought that eventually he'd got onto the message that nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody likes you, Paul. You'd have thought that maybe he'd give up, go home, and start a really nice tent shop so he wouldn't have to travel. He didn't stop. Jesus says, go on to the next. Go on to the next. And then he reminds us the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, Lord of the flies, the Lord of the demons. We would say Satan. Then how much more shall they call them of his household? See, they called Jesus the king of the demons. Well, you know, the truth is they called Jesus a whole lot of names. He never stopped going to the cross, though, did he? No matter what they called him and how they treated him, he went and continued to do his Father's will. He continued on. And he says to you and I, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, Lord of the flies, well then how much more are they going to call the household? Don't worry about what others are calling you or saying about you. If you have been called to preach the gospel, then you preach it and you don't worry about the names someone gives you. They called Jesus those names and worse. And if they've called the master, then they're going to call the followers the same. The world doesn't love us. The world hates us. It just doesn't realize it. When you hear all this talk about peace and unity and one world, it's not going to be for true Christians. They are already being left out. You are not welcome. Those of us of lower life form vibrations can't take that quantum leap in evolution. We can't get into the new age. We're not welcome. We are going to be violently sent off the earth. The powers that be in the New Age movement say that when the New Age enters in, it is an ejective force. It's going to eject millions off the earth because they can't enter into that New Age. It doesn't matter who tells me all roads lead to God. I would say to them, all roads don't lead to God. Oh yes, everyone will stand in judgment in front of God. But if you're talking about eternal life, if you're talking about in the presence of the Lord forever, all roads don't lead to God. That's what everybody's calling Broadway. Broadway leads to destruction. There's one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, the Son. There is no other way. That, if you believe, will separate you. And the world hates Jesus, and so the world will hate you, he says. And the disciple is not above his master. See how they treated Jesus? See how they've treated his followers since then? See how they're treating his followers today around the world? It's because the disciples are not greater than the master. How the master is treated, the followers will be treated. And Jesus says, I'm sending you out into that. Don't you love me anymore? Yes. That's why I've chosen you. And I want you to go. Go and tell the whole world. Go to the highways and the byways. Invite everybody you see. You tell them. Don't fear them. Therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, verse 26 says. I'll read it in the King James. Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be known. Everything's going to come out in the open. Everything is going to be turned someday inside out. Did you know that? There's coming a time when the inside's going to show. And God has called us to change, and He changes our hearts. So when we're turned inside out, be sure that the inside looks as good as the outside. And that's why God says you must be born again. Because everything is going to come out in the open. Everything is going to come to the light. Everything. Nothing's getting past God. What I tell you in darkness, he says, that speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach that upon the housetops. One of the ways I believe we preach from the housetops is radio. I know we have other radio people. other radio, other ministries on the radio in this area. That's a way to preach from the housetops. What we hear when we're studying together, what we learn, we preach it also from the housetops. Sometimes you're in your quiet time, or sometimes you're there alone with the Lord and just away, and you're reading, and something just ministers to your heart. You go out into the day, and somebody says, "Well, you seem to be in a good mood. What's going on?" And you say, "I was reading this morning, and let me share with you what God said." What you heard in secret, what you heard in the dark back there, you're just bringing it out now into the light. And we're preaching it from the rooftops to let everybody know. What we're learning here, we preach from the rooftops. What God is showing us, we tell the whole community. That's what God wants us to do. "And don't fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We think so much about ourselves. That's our biggest worry. And Jesus says, don't be afraid of the people that can only kill the body. You know, there's more to me in you than what meets the eye. When someone looks at you, they don't see you. They see the tent that you live in. And that's a temporary thing. That's going to go away. But the real you goes on for eternity, either suffering, separated from God, or in life, belonging to the Father. And you see, that's what he's saying. Don't fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Don't be afraid of people. People can't do really much to you. They can take you, this physical life, that's it. They can't touch you. It can be done. So don't be afraid. But rather fear or reverence him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a God who is almighty, who one day will look to all for answers. There's a judgment coming. Your sins need to be taken care of by Jesus Christ before you leave this earth. And then he goes on to let you know, don't be afraid of people, but reverence the Lord your God in heaven. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" A little less than a penny. "And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." Meaning, without your Father seeing that it has fallen and it has died. One little sparrow that costs less than a penny, that's worth that. As a matter of fact, for about just a little over a penny, you can buy five of them. "One of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father." And that simply means God sees and knows where the birds are. And when one falls, he knew it was down. He knew it was gone. And he also says, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." That's how much attention God pays to you. Wherever the birds are, all the little sparrows even, when one falls, God himself sees that. He knows it. "And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." If God sees one single sparrow when it goes down, you can believe his eye is on you and he's watching you. And you know, God loves you. Now, if those of you that had mothers, and those mothers probably loved you, but God loves you more. Your mother never counted the hairs on your head, did she? And God still knows how many you got, some of you guys. And there's an angel assigned to you because it's going so fast. But he still knows. He cares about you. He loves you. In other words, his eye is on you and he realizes at all times what's happening to you. Don't be afraid of men. Stand up for what is right and stand up for the Word of God and stand up for the truth and do speak out the things about Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid because God is with you. He knows and he's with you. And he says, "You are of more value than many sparrows." And I'm going to throw something in here that might shock you. I think also he could have said, "You are of more value than an eagle." Oh, expensive. "You are of more value even than a spotted owl." Oh, wait, let's even get more expensive. A red squirrel. Or if you want to get to the top, the Southern California kangaroo rat. You are worth more than that. Can you even fathom that? There are more laws protecting those than are protecting you right now. You're in deep trouble. Aren't you glad that God, who knows where the rats live, and where the birds are and where the squirrels roam. He knows what's going on with you. Nothing gets past Him. He's right with you. He's taking care of you. Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father which is in heaven. We're going to confess Jesus Christ. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven. He's talking about a reward here. He's not talking about literally denying you, all of a sudden saying, all right, that's Bob. Father, don't know him. Dump him out. I don't know him. I've changed my mind. No. No, and He shows us what He meant when all of a sudden He rises from the dead. He goes back to a man who denied Him three times. He said, Peter, do you love Me? Yes, sir, you know I do. Then feed My sheep. He's talking about a reward. Many of us have lost rewards because we have denied and looked the other way at times, and that's what He's referring to. You want to be willing by the power of the Holy Spirit to confess Jesus. Sometimes it's going to bring you trouble. Sometimes it's going to get you smack in a situation where you're going to be called on the carpet, maybe by your boss, maybe by your friends, maybe by the government, maybe by governors and kings, who knows? But you may be called up front to say, how come you're saying this? What are you doing? And you're going to get an opportunity to confess Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And then He says this, do not think that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. Wait a minute, isn't He the Prince of Peace? Yes. When is the peace going to be? Well, the peace can rule in your hearts, but you must be born again. The Prince of Peace is not on the earth present physically, but He's coming back to set up a kingdom. Then you will see peace. Then you will see a 1,000-year reign to begin with, and you will see peace. Till then, there's a division, there is a slice, and there is a clear-cut difference between a born-again and a not-born-again individual. They are different, and you'll see divisions take place. And what He says is, here's how it happens. I have come to set a man at variance against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. At home, I've seen it happen. Men and women, they'll come to church. A husband will accept the Lord, the wife won't. All of a sudden they say, there's a division between us. The guy has gone off and gotten religious. He's weird. You notice when you get born again, truly born again, all of a sudden you really are drawn to other believers. It happens. You really fellowship and enjoy being with others. They become your family. And your own brothers and sisters sometimes look at you and say, man, you are weird. We don't even want you around. Or they try to fight with you or try to bring you back to the dark side, Luke. They try to get you back over there. My parents just didn't understand me. Well, they never have. Well, who does? Well, let's not go there. Thought religion had gotten over my head. Religion, is that all it is? No, it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. All of a sudden, I got new family members. All of a sudden, you've got family members who are a little embarrassed if you're coming over for Christmas or for Thanksgiving. Hey, look, we want to have you because we love you, but don't say anything out loud. I can't talk. No, just, Bob, don't say anything. Because you're going to start a fight because so-and-so is here. And you know how he worships the hummingbird. And as soon as you say about the hummingbird, boom. You know, the Baha'i religion, they worship a hummingbird. Well, among other things. And he's going to come and he's a relative and I'm going to say, I got to say something. Or maybe I'll just hum through dinner or something. I got to do something. And there's a division there. Who caused that division? When I accepted Jesus, is it my fault that somebody else didn't know? Jesus, the division was caused by the fact that somebody came to Jesus and somebody has rejected. You're divided. There's no getting together on this. It can't be done. I know many of you have experienced that among friends and family. Your own mom and dad, they love you. You come to Jesus and all of a sudden they're ashamed that you're alive. I don't know what's wrong with her. I mean, we raised her right. We raised him right, and look at them now. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus is not telling you not to love your mom and dad. You're told to honor your father and your mother. Of course you want to love them. But remember, God must be first. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Should you love your children? Yes, you should. But God must come first. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. To take up your cross, and of course the cross has become a nice symbol, hasn't it? We wear them on our ears, around our necks, on our cars. But the cross was an ugly form of death. Maybe we should all buy a little electric chair and hang that on our ears. Hang that around our neck. That'd be really nice. Or a little gas chamber. And people go, you are sick. That's right, because the cross is not a pretty, it is an offense. When you, I got my little electric chair, isn't that nice? What's that? To show death. To show death, the cross. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. In the 1960s, those of you who remember, a whole generation set out to find themselves. Remember? We're just going to find out who we are. Free love, free rent, free whatever we could get, because we're just going to go see if I can find myself. Then we moved into the 70s, we grew up. To improve ourselves. The 70s, we want to improve ourselves. And what did you see? Special courses. People in their 60s and 70s diving back into the universities to come out with degrees. They want to improve themselves. And what popped up all over the landscape, coming out of nowhere? Health spas. Go check it out in your history. Because we want to improve ourselves. Contact paperwork's just as well. But then we moved out of the 70s into the 80s. 80s, serve yourselves. More materialistic, less fulfilled. Just doing everything you can do to bring yourself happiness. Buy stuff, get stuff, build stuff, however it works. Then we came into the 90s. Promote yourselves. See yourself achieving your goals. See yourself rich. See yourself on the top of the heap. Just see yourself better and better and better and promote yourself till you're finally there. And all through the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and before it and into the future, what does Jesus say? Deny yourself. Die to yourself. We've tried everything but. What does he say? He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. I got to die to myself. You need to die to yourself. If you really want life, life to the full, the peace and the joy and the promise, die to yourself. Crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Following him. Take up your cross and follow him. And he says this, he that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There are rewards. All will be rewarded. Everything will be taken care of in its time. Jesus says, go on out. Be careful. Be diligent out there. Be wise. It's dangerous. Do the things you've been called to do freely. Die to yourself. Those who receive you, they receive me. Anybody that receives me, he says, receives the one that sent me. If he's rejected, you reject Jesus, you've rejected God. You reject God, you've rejected Jesus. You can't separate them. Blessings are promised. Even for the simplest little things done, in the name of Jesus Christ. As a disciple, as a prophet, as just a good man or a good person. A prophet's reward, a righteous man's reward, even a cup of cold water for a disciple. All the things that are done will be rewarded. You may have even forgotten they were done, but God will reward them. He loves you. He's keeping His eye on you. You say, I'm in a mess here. I don't know how I got myself in this mess. It just may be the very thing. Remember, the opposition brings the opportunity. We don't worry about the future. We just count on it. We don't worry about the things to come. We look for opportunities to serve and to share and to give and to tell all about Jesus Christ, dying to ourselves. Pray about these things. Read through it on your own. Hold fast to that which is good. Let God Himself show you. And remember, nothing's going to be hidden. All things will be made right. He'll take care of it. Remember, the disciple is not above his master. Pray about these things. Be willing to die to yourself so that His love can come through you and you can be used, that the world could see Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, it is our prayer that we would be more like Jesus. We do catch ourselves caught up in the here and now. We do catch ourselves sometimes afraid of people. We know that there are times when we compromise. You've shown us compromise destroys us. Lord, fill us with Your Spirit as we worship You. Speak to our hearts. Change our hearts that we might simply bring You honor and glory. Use us, Lord. Keep us simply serving You until You come. Speak to hearts as we worship You this morning. In Jesus' name. Well,